Hey, everybody, this is Adam Alexander from NASCAR on Fox. You're listening to the Front Stretch Podcast with Brian Nolan.
Hello, beautiful people. It is the week of June the 28th. Chase Elliott is the new concrete king, and this program begins now. What is going on, my friends? Thank you, Pat McAfee, for the great intro that he does that translated to yours truly. Always love the excitement he brings to his program, and I hope I'm at least half of the energized bunny that he is every single day. On this week's edition of the program, we have Graham Enfinger, driver of the number 23 truck. He had a big hit at Nashville. We talk about his just what that is like and how he just can translate that to the real world for those that have not been in a wreck. We dive into his overall season, what the racing is like from when he started to now, and what the consequences should be for some dirty driving by his fellow competitors. Also on the program, Jack Sweeney will be co-hosting with me. We dive into the 7 hours of Nashville. It felt like 24, but it was just seven. We preview Road America and a whole lot more. So without further ado, let's wave this green flag.
Boogity, boogity, boogity! Let's go racing, boys!
Green flag has been waved. Big show this weekend. Let's just start it off with a bang. My co-host, he is from the triangular part in North Carolina. However, he's currently living in the West Coast, aka the Best Coast. Los Angeles. Jack Swansea joined the program. Jack, thank you so much for going on. I'm glad we both survived the 7 hours of Nashville because it was way too long. But hey, sometimes that will do. That will happen when you get rain in the forecast. Just first off, thanks for coming on. And then let's just dive into this recap from Nashville, my friend.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here. And let's get going on a very, very long night of racing.
Jack, let's just dive into this, my friend. From the start to the finish, it basically felt like Toyota's to lose. And well, they kind of did lose it, my friend. Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch, and Denny Hamlin combined to lead almost 250 of the 300 laps. And with a caution out with seven laps to go for the number 77 car of Josh Palicki blowing up, it was, do you come in and pit or do you not? And for the leader, he was a sitting duck, it felt like. And Chase Elliott, he stayed out. The Joe Gibbs Racing cars, they went in. Ross Chastain went in. Kurt Busch, Ryan Blaney, they stayed out. And well, Chase Elliott, I don't want to say stole this win because he did lead two times for 42 laps, but it felt like Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., and Denny Hamlin were the class of the field. Kyle Busch only took two tires, had to salvage a disappointing 21st place finish. Martin Truex Jr. 22nd, and Denny Hamlin did find his way up to six, but could not get any further than that. Ross Chastain and Kyle Larson were ahead of him that did go into pit, but just a little too late for them with four laps to go. They could not get to Chase Elliott. First off, Jack, good win by Chase Elliott, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but why did they come into pit when the entire race tires weren't even a big factor? And I'm just mind boggled by this. So my overall question is why?
Well, I'm thinking the same thing as you. I was, you know, shouting at my screen pretty late in the evening. I couldn't understand it. I guess the only thing I have is that maybe they thought if Busch and Truex both went down pit road, everyone else would follow and be able to catch Chase out there on his old tires. But I mean, they should have known people were going to stay out back through the field. I think it was the top 10 all stayed out just because tires hadn't made that much of a difference all day or all night.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's just like, when you have such a short stretch, I mean, there was only four to go. It's not like you had 12 laps to get up there. I mean, the caution wave was seven to go, and you restart with four to go. I mean, were they just going for a top 10? I don't know. And maybe they thought tires would be way more, have way more grip and would go to the front just because of the cool temperatures. I don't know. But it for JGR is very, very disappointing. I mean, five times for 114 laps for Hamlin, 54 laps on two occasions for Kyle Busch, and then Martin Truex Jr. Had two stage wins over beating both of his teammates, specifically the 11 of Denny Hamlin. He led six times for 82 laps, and they get a goose egg for Toyota on the wins column. Let's dive in, though, on Chase Elliott here, Jack, mainly because it was two concrete tracks, two wins for the number nine car. We've been wanting to have someone replace Concrete Carl for a while. Is it possible that it's Concrete Chase time now? Because he's two for two so far in the concrete ovals.
Well, he is two for two, and I'm not going to stop anyone from using that nickname. But I think it might just be too early to call it definitively for him. There are fewer concrete races now than there used to be, now that Atlanta's been paved over into some semblance of a super speedway. But I mean, if you look at how many times Kyle Busch has won at Bristol and at Dover, I think he's still the best on the concrete tracks. Although, you know, the times they could be a changing. I'd actually disagree with your point earlier that Chase stole the win. I think once the sun went down, that number nine car was one of, if not the best car on the racetrack, particularly on the long runs, where he got up and passed both Truex and Kyle Busch to sort of set off that first, those green flag pit stops in the final stage. So maybe that could have been why the Gibbs cars pulled into pit. They might not have just been able to pass him on old tires, even with the restart.
For Chase Elliott, though, it feels like he's got something that he doesn't, that the others don't have. I mean, he dominated in the Dover race when it got delayed. And then it felt like as the night went on, it felt like the number nine car had the better car. Maybe the 11 or the 19 could have battled with him if they didn't. But it felt like, I mean, he just flat out passed the 19 when they were battling it out. So very, very solid win, two wins in a row. And I think we're just going to figure out if he is the true concrete king when they head to Bristol a little bit down the road in September. A couple other things here on this Nashville race. Something's got to change because for the seventh time in 2022, Bubba Wallace's pit crew once again lets him down. Fifth loose wheel. They saved it, though, or fifth wheel trouble just in general. What has to happen? I mean, I've never seen a big name team have such a struggle on pit road in my entire life, let alone in my NASCAR media life. I mean, I've been following this sport since I was probably about five. I'm 25 now, so that's 20 years. I've never seen a pit crew struggle this much. And we saw back in 2010 at Texas when Chad Knaus came off of the booth and just ripped his team a new one. And Bubba Wallace ripped his crew chief a new one in Booty Barker. And I don't know, because they lease the pit crews from JGR, Jack. So they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. So what can they do, if they can do anything, to try and just nurse this bleeding? Because this is the third race, Jack, that they could have won. Kansas and Charlotte, and now this one. And they squashed all three of them because of poor pit crew play. What can they do?
Well, if I knew the answer, I think Michael Jordan would be calling me.
That's fair. Honestly, I kind of wanted to see Michael Jordan go all the way to pit road and rip them a new one, because he was in attendance, and I'm pretty sure he was not happy.
Yeah, I mean, to throw away top 10 speed, what kind of feels like week after week, even if there are some road courses thrown in there that the 23 wasn't quite as fast at, but this mile and a half ish program that the Toyotas have is really impressive. And yet the 23 crew keeps dropping Bubba to the back of the field. And he did work his way back up into the top 10 on multiple occasions last week, but yeah, something's got to change. And I don't know the specifics of what 2311's deal with JGR is. So I don't know if they can pressure JGR and changing up their crew lineup. But it seems to spiral out of control for them every week.
Yeah, I don't know either. And we had Michael Massey come on, I want to say 3-4 weeks ago, and we literally talked about this same exact one. It's just, it does not go away. This continues. And it's just like, do they have the very, very last pit crew, or is this pit crew below the Xfinity ones? Is this below the 19 and the 54? I don't know. If they are, if they're not, maybe even, I know it's 5 lug nuts to 1, maybe even try and see if they can switch or something, or maybe switch with Kurt Busch, because something's got to change. And I mean, it was just heartbreaking what I heard from Bubba Wallace on his radio. It was just so sad. He said, it's not even fun anymore, and it breaks my heart to say that. I give it my best, and my best isn't good enough. That's, once again, Bubba Wallace on his radio. And that's just so sad, Jack, because you have Kurt Busch, who's just, let's be honest, he's outperforming him in his first year with 23-11, finishes second, and Bubba Wallace is trying so hard, and time again, he's let down. It's not even on his own doing. It's just freak accidents, unacceptable loose wheels, and I don't know what the solution is, but they need to do something, because they can't just stand put. Last thing here, Jack, before we switch it over to my interview with Grant Enfiger. It seems like as we go on and on and on, the times go later and later and later, the start times, I should say. And this came to a head where it was the latest day race in, as long as I can remember, a 5 p.m. start. They raised it 11 minutes or just because of impending weather. 2 delays, 3 hours for the second delay. I mean, I know TV is the almighty, and I know that there was a 6 hours of the Glenn the IMSA race was the day race before the Nashville race, but I mean, something has to change where we can't just stay put. And what can they do NASCAR wise because it feels like time and time again NASCAR is not standing up to the TV executives and the TV side of things. TV saying, hey, we control your product, and we will race whenever we decide.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I keep getting asked about TV start times, but I'm on the West Coast, so it doesn't affect me quite as much.
Honestly, and I'm the same way, because I'm on the Mountain Time Zone. You're on the West Coast, and it's just like, well, why can't we do 1 p.m. starts? I'm fine with an 11 a.m. start. I grew up with 11 a.m. starts, and so that's fine. It's just, I hear more and more complaining about this. I don't know where they go. Do you?
I don't either. I mean, for Nashville in particular, I think that it should have been a Saturday night race this year. Even just, we saw the racing product become more competitive once the sun went down, and the track had lights already. I know there was some concern about heat for the fans, and that could have been potentially why NASCAR didn't push back on the 5 p.m. start, which is 4 p.m. local time, because I found out doing some research that Nashville's in the central time zone. But yeah, I think it should have been a Saturday night race. Generally speaking, it's going to figure into how the next TV deals go. It's certainly going to be a point of contention between NASCAR and the networks to have control over when the start times are. But I mean, I hate to say it, but I really think NASCAR is kind of just at the mercy of the networks right now. There's no real way around it, at least until the new deals are signed.
And honestly, I'm with you, which is sad to say, but I'm sadly there. And maybe in this new deal, they're going to have time races where it's like 180 minutes. You get 3 hours for pre, post, and the race. So put it for however you want. And then if it's on NBC, then they'll put it on the Peacock, maybe pre and post on Peacock, and then have a 3 hour race. I don't know. But something, I think they're just, like you said, I'm in agreement with you. They're kind of just stuck between, like I said, also like a rock and a hard place, because they got no wiggle room whatsoever. So I think we're just gonna have to wait and see with this next TV deal coming up in a couple years. But without further ado, we're gonna hold on, and you stay right there, Jack. We're gonna dive into my interview that I conducted a little bit ago with Grant Enfiger, driver of the number 23 truck for GMS Racing. Right now, folks, at this time, I'm gonna bring into the program, he is a driver of the number 23
Truck 4 GMS Racing, also the 2015 Arca Menards Series champion, Grant Enfinger joins the program this week. Grant, thank you so much for taking time out of your morning to spend it with myself. First and foremost, let's just dive into that wreck that you had just about 72 hours ago at Nashville. You wrote on your Twitter that it was one of the hardest hits you've had in a while. So first off, how are you feeling physically and mentally? And then just for those that have never been in a wreck like that, how do you describe that hit and just the preparation you have, that split second that you're going towards the wall and you don't know how you're going to feel after it?
Yeah, Brian, I don't know if it's good or bad to not be prepared for it. We were in a bad spot there. We were three wide on the top, which should have been fine. And then all of a sudden we were four wide on the top, which probably wasn't going to turn out very good, and it didn't. Once the 51 hit me in the left front, pretty much instantly I was in the wall. And just a really tough impact with the angle and the speed we were carrying and all. Definitely a solid blow, but I'm feeling okay. I'm a little bit sore, but all in all, everything held up really, really good. Everything did its job. The truck is absolutely destroyed. That's the worst I've ever tore up a truck. Just hate it. I feel like we were going to end up with a solid finish. I think we could have ended up 5th or 6th there at Nashville on Friday night, and just wasn't meant to be. And so we will regroup and be ready for Mid-Ohio in a couple weeks.
Let's dive into your season, Grant, because you've had some good finishes. I mean, you finished a couple of times. You finished 3rd Darlington, Kansas, 2nd at Charlotte, but you just haven't gotten that one step closer to get to the victory. How would you assess your season so far, and what more have you needed to get to that victory lane?
Yeah, honestly, the effort has been there all season long. I think it's been really good on pit road. We've had some things going our direction, but we haven't just found that sheer speed that we've needed. I feel like we started off the year in really Daytona and Las Vegas, and we're just off on just sheer straight line speed, and I feel like we've helped that. I feel like we've moved in the right direction, but we really haven't got to where we're contending for wins yet and all. So we've probably come halfway from where we started the season to where we are now. But we still got a good 50% to go, I'd say. But really happy with how everybody's working together and how everybody's just been digging in all season long. So we got a couple races left in the regular season here before the playoffs start, and we got some new stuff coming in the pipeline there. I feel like we're heading the right direction. We just hadn't got there yet.
Now, last year, you're going back and forth. Grant Enfinger joins the program here. Last year, it was a little bit of a part-time effort with Thor Sport. You were going between the number 98 truck and the number 9 truck. Just how big of a relief it is, and how much pressure is it off of you that you don't have to go from week to week saying, which truck am I going to be in? Which truck am I going to be in? That you know that, hey, I'm going to be in this 23 truck full-time this year. I don't have to worry about any of where I'm going to be from week in to week out, and I can just focus on getting the good finish.
Yeah, that's definitely huge for me, Brian, and really the fact that it's a two-year deal full-time with Champion Power Equipment and GMS Racing. I've never had a two-year deal in my career, so it's a very happy about that, and it's allowed us to just focus on racing and get the most speed we can out of this Champion Power Equipment Chevrolet each and every week. Definitely the effort is there. The support group behind us with GMS Racing and with Chevrolet is there. We just got to get the results now. Like I said, we've had some good finishes. We've had a few, just decent runs to where we're a top five truck all night long. We just, we got that little, we have to get that little bit extra. And now's the time of the season where you want to be able to do that.
Couple more things here, Grant, before we let you go. You've been in the series for about 6 years full time, 10 years overall in the Truck Series. And a lot of it, not just on Twitter, but just overall, the perception is the Truck Series has the young guns of, and sometimes they drive recklessly. Just what is it about this Truck Series that you see maybe a little bit more aggression than the Cup Series or the Xfinity Series? And just your overall thoughts on the racing style that these Truck Series drivers provide, sometimes on a week in and week out basis.
Yeah, you know, when I started racing full time in the Truck Series, it took me, I feel like, half the season to kind of get adjusted to how aggressive everybody is, and you know, kind of the lack of respect that is out there. But it's, you know, at the end of the day, I've kind of had to embrace it and be part of it. I wasn't able to kind of change everybody else. I had to join them, more or less. So I think a lot of it is the package NASCAR has us running. It's incredibly hard to pass. You kind of got to get what you can get on restarts. Very hard to pass once you're single file. We have so much downforce, in my opinion, so little horsepower. You know, I feel like it kind of lends itself to that kind of racing. And then, you know, I think a big thing nowadays is there's not many repercussions for wrecks. You know, drivers don't seem to worry about it too much. It's kind of left in the hands of the teams and the team owners to kind of pick up the pieces, in my opinion. And I feel like, you know, it's progressively gotten, you know, a little rougher, to where, you know, there's been a few times over the last couple of years it's gotten out of hand, you know. So I would, you know, like to see, you know, some sort of a, you know, not necessarily, I don't want any kind of a judgment call from NASCAR, because I think that just kind of hurts things. But maybe if you're involved in a wreck like we were, you know, last week, maybe you have to start at the back the next week or something like that. Just some sort of incentive to not wreck. I feel like it's sad to say, but I feel like we're at the point where we almost need that. But you know, it just, I think it provides good excitement. You know, and I wouldn't want to do anything that took away excitement for the fans or anything like that. But there has been, you know, a few times the last couple of years where it's probably gone over the line. And I think, you know, it's progressed that way in all series. I think you've seen it a couple of years ago, as we're running the big downforce and low horsepower package. I think the package has a lot to do with it. I think the racers have a lot to do with it. And I think, you know, the incentives have a lot to do with it.
Last thing here, Grant, before we let you go. Obviously, GMS teamed up with Petty to have the GMS Petty for the NASCAR Cup Series. And this is kind of just a multi-part question for you. Obviously, you've been basically like a truck lifer. Just how close does Petty and GMS work together for the Cup Series with the Truck Series side of things? And then could we see you make any start with Petty GMS for the Cup Series side? Or are you basically, as they say, a lifer in the NASCAR Truck Series?
You know, I don't know if I'm a lifer in the Truck Series, but I've definitely enjoyed my time in the Truck Series. Definitely, it's a dream come true for me to be able to run full time in the Truck Series for this being my 6 year. So I'm one of the guys that's living out my dream. God has blessed me with a lot of really great opportunities, and this is definitely one of them. So, you know, barring something crazy happening, I don't see myself, you know, getting a cup car this year or next year. You know, but I mean, our focus is on winning truck races, hopefully being able to contend and win a championship here in the Truck Series. So that's kind of been my focus for the last 6 years. I've been happy to be part of the series and be competitive at this level, and I enjoy it. You know, but to answer your question on how close we work together, so we share the same shop. You know, we got the 42 and the 43 on the front side of the shop. The 23 and the 24 trucks are on the back side of the shop. But we all share the same assembly room and all that kind of stuff. You know, with the new car, there's probably less that correlates this year than most years, but a lot of smart guys on both sides of the shop, so we are able to share some knowledge. There's been some questions we've had, you know, like Dave Ellens has been in the Xfinity Series over the last few years, and now he's Eric Jones' crew chief there on the Cup side. But, you know, we've leaned on him some for Mid-Ohio and for Sonoma and some of these tracks that we haven't been to, and Jeremy as well on the 42. So there's definitely been a lot of conversations, feel like that can help us on our truck side. But yeah, the fact that this year the Cup Series cars are so different than what we're doing now, but still a lot of really smart guys and a lot of people you can bounce ideas off of, that's for sure.
They're off for a couple weeks, but when they return for the first ever time, the Camping World Truck Series will be returning to, or they will be going to Mid-Ohio for the first ever time. July the 9th, Grant Enfinger will be trying to go for his first win of the season. Grant, thank you so much for coming on, my friend. Good luck the rest of the way, and let's talk down the road.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Grant Enfinger, driver of the number 23 truck for GMS Racing, also the 2015 ARCA Menards Series champion.
Big thanks to Grant Enfinger for coming on the program. Very, very insightful. From him. Big thanks for taking some time out of his morning on Monday to spend it with myself. Once again, you can follow Grant on Twitter at Grant Enfinger. I'm going to bring in right now my co-host back with me for the program. You can follow him on the Twitter at Jack Swansea, SWANSEY. Once again, at Jack Swansea. Jack, let's dive into the upcoming race at Road America. July the 3rd, it is the 4th of July race. It's going to be a lot cooler, I should say, for these NASCAR Cup Series teams and the NASCAR Xfinity guys. Give me your overall thoughts. Elkhart Lake, second overall time, 4.048-mile road course for the NASCAR Cup Series, only 250 miles, but 62 laps. Thing is, the trouble I have with this track is it is way too long for cautions, and I wish they would have local yellows. They won't, because they say safety first, and they don't want to have anybody on track while the cars are still going. Give me your overall thoughts on Road America, though.
It's definitely one of the world's great racetracks, but I got to agree with you. I think it's just too long for a series that doesn't do local yellows. I caught the IndyCar race just on TV, but the IndyCar race this year was fantastic. The Xfinity Series racing is always exciting, because at least the old style cars were not particularly well suited to this fast flowing, narrow, old school type of road course. So it was always a pretty good show. And I honestly think that the next gen cars that are maybe a little bit better set up for road racing with the diffusers and the independent rear suspension, I think from what we've seen with the road racing this year, they're going to put on an even better show.
Yeah, I hope it's a good show. I mean, like you said, I watched the IndyCar race at Road America too, and I thought it was great. It was fantastic. For the Road America for the Xfinity guys at Road America, that'll be Saturday, 45 laps. Sunday will be a little bit longer with 62 laps, so it should be a good race. Overall, there's been rumors, Jack, that this could be the final time that they go to this track, mainly just because rumor is, according to multiple sources, that they're going to be going to a Chicago street course race for the 4th of July. If this is the final race, is that a good decision by NASCAR? I know they want to try a street course, and they have to remove a road course because they don't want to have so many road courses. Is Road America the right choice to have it removed from the schedule, though?
Well, we already covered that. We both think it's a little too long, in which case it makes some sense, but I think that NASCAR should prioritize getting a street race. And I think that the lakefront in Chicago is a great place to do it. I was down there a couple of months ago and had a great time, and seeing stock cars race anywhere would be great, but seeing a stock car race on the streets of downtown Chicago would be really cool. And Road America is somewhat close by, so I guess it makes sense to drop it, but I don't know if that'll be permanent. I think that even if they do have a successful Chicago street race, then that becomes a sort of permanent fixture on the schedule. That'll drive up enough support for another nearby race. I mean, we saw what happened. I wrote about this in NASCAR Mailbox last week, but when they had the temporary racetrack in my backyard in the LA Coliseum, and then Fontana just 3 weeks later, they had really, really good attendance at both, for both events. So I don't think that moving to a Chicago street course will necessarily take Road America off the schedule permanently or even at all.
I hope you're right, because I like watching them at different road courses. I think it will for a little bit. I do think they'll come back though in time. I just think NASCAR is just going to say, we don't want road courses to be like the mile and a half, where it's half of the entire season, because you know the traditionals, they don't like these road courses, and they are probably already think they got too much. I'm not saying that's the case and they're going to fall to the traditional side of things, because we know that they like to go out in the box, like you said, with the Clash. I'm just saying, I think there's a specific number that NASCAR has in mind, saying, hey, this is the amount of road course races, and unfortunately, you're going to have to take one off. That being said, Road America is just innocent bystander. Obviously, you're not going to take a Watkins Glen. COTA is obviously COTA. Sonoma, obviously, you can't take away that, because that's an SMI track. Charlotte Roval is an SMI track. So that being said, Road America, SOL. I mean, you're out of luck there. With that being said, overall, I'm looking forward to seeing this. I mean, the crowd there, absolutely incredible. I mean, last year it was over 100,000 people. I'm looking forward to seeing the crowd in a little bit, maybe a little lower, just because of, you know, the debut race. Everybody wanted to see cup cars at Road America. So maybe it's a little bit lower. However, I do think that they're going to have a solid, solid showing. Let's dive into our keys to the race, Jack. Once again, Road America, the Kiwi Trip 250. What are you going to be keeping your eye on this upcoming Sunday at Road America, Jack?
Well, we've talked about him enough already, but no matter how many times they try to call him the Concrete King this week, Chase Elliott's still a road course king of NASCAR. And he won this race last year, and I think it's going to be hard for anyone else to beat him. That being said, he hasn't won a road course race this year, and it's been all about track house racing. So I think Chase Elliott, Ross Chastain, Daniel Suarez have to be considered the favorites going in. Someone not on the Chevy team, but who could still be maybe a dark horse pick, as odd as it is to say that, Christopher Bell for JGR. He finished second in the race last year. He's won an Xfinity Series race at Road America before. And I think that Xfinity Series experience at Road America is really going to be key for the drivers who are running the race Saturday, Ty Dillon and Tyler Reddick among them, I can't remember who else, as well as just drivers who raced there in the past when the Xfinity Series ran Road America, which was starting in 2010. So Chase Elliott, Christopher Bell, Chase Briscoe, Ross Chastain, Tyler Reddick, all those guys finished in the top 10 there last year, and all of them had experience at Road America in an Xfinity car before the Cup cars went there for the first time.
I like that. I like that Christopher Bell pick. A couple of things to watch for: a lot of aggression. The playoffs are coming up. You're going to be seeing some guys that are on the outside wanting to get into the playoffs. You're going to have guys that have won already in the past at different types of organizations. Let's say in the ARCA series, Chris Buescher has won in 2013 at Road America. Michael McDowell has won 2016 at Road America. You saw Austin Cindric finish fifth at Sonoma. Won 2020 at Road America. Don't look for the potential favorites. There could be some underdogs that could be sneaking up and maybe stealing a victory here at Road America. Jack, you are the guest, my friend, so I'm going to have you go first on the picks. Who is your pick to win? Hopefully it's not the very last race at Road America, but the second overall race at Road America for the NASCAR Cup Series. Who you got?
Well, first, I want to say it's the third overall race, Road America Cup Series. They ran a one-off in 1956.
Oh, okay. Well, my apologies. So the second Road America Cup Series race in the 2000s. How about that?
All right. So I get one pick?
How about one pick and then a dark horse pick?
Okay. All right. So my one pick, I'm gonna do take the easy way out. I'm gonna pick Chase Elliott.
Okay.
And then the dark horse, I gotta say Michael McDowell.
that was my pick, so I gotta go with my second one, but
all right, yeah,
carry on.
Yeah, Well, that's the benefit of going first, I guess. McDowell, he finished third at Sonoma, was sort of just out of touch of the battle between Suarez and Chris Buescher. And he's been saying, and they interviewed him during the rain delay on NBC. I caught that. And he said that Road America is his favorite racetrack. You mentioned already, he's won there in the Xfinity Series. And that the 34 team's looking fast, and they're definitely going to give everything they have towards winning this race to lock themselves in the playoffs.
And 34 cars, not just fast on road courses. They were in the top 10 in Nashville this past week. So they got speed wherever they go. It's really, really impressive to see just the resurgence from this 34 group this year. Obviously, my dark horse was going to be Michael McDowell, but I will not go that route since you did. I'm going to go with the 17 car, Chris Buescher. Missed a race due to COVID-19 at Gateway. He finished second at Sonoma. Very good road course racer, won in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin back in 2013 in the ARCA Menards Series. He could be one to watch for, so don't be surprised to see that 17 car in the top five and maybe even contending for a win come Sunday afternoon. But when it's all said and done, I do think it will be the number 18 car, Kyle Busch, getting the job done. He won the Xfinity race last year at Road America, and I think he's going to be winning the third overall race in history for the NASCAR Cup Series at Road America. Without further ado, let's head to the checkered flag to wrap up shop.
Checkered flag, here I come. Oh, no!
Wrapping up shop here on this June the 28th edition of the program. Jack, any final thoughts before we call it a week and we dive into some road course racing this weekend?
I just want to go back to the street course versus Road America debate. I'm really hoping they pick the third option and let them race both in the long term going forward.
I hope so. I mean, not gonna lie, I hope so. I don't think it's gonna happen, but hey, I would love to be wrong there. I'm gonna dive into something a little bit different here, Jack. We talk about the start times. We talk about start times and how we want earlier start times. Well, unfortunately, I don't think we're gonna get it. We gotta wait until the next TV deal because once again, Fox and NBC, they control when they want to have their races and when they want to have their races. I mean, you look at the IndyCar series, they were at noon Eastern and you saw the ratings. They were not the best. Yes, I know I'm comparing IndyCar to NASCAR. And I know when Danica Patrick compared that, it wasn't good. And it's probably not good for myself either. With that being said, though, you saw the ratings not the best when they did that. Formula One, it's usually early in the morning, not the best either. However, with that being said, they're kind of just stuck right now. And until the new TV deal, whether it's with CBS or NBC or ABC or whoever, we're kind of just stuck there. So instead of complaining, just hang on for the ride. You have your cell phone, you have Twitter. I currently have DirecTV, so I can literally stream the race wherever, whenever, using the DirecTV app. It's unfortunate, I know, but we're stuck, so let's just hang on for the ride. Big thanks to Grant Enfinger for coming on the program once again at Grant Enfinger. Jack, thank you so much for coming on the program. Great stuff as always. We are definitely going to have you on again, and just thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I had a great time.
Once again, you can follow Jack on the Twitter at Jack Swansea, S-W-A-N-S-E-Y. You can follow me on Twitter at The Brian Nolan, and you can follow all of us at Front Stretch. And for all the latest on NASCAR, IndyCar, and SRX, and more, check out frontstretch.com. Next week on the program, the one, the only, Michael Finley will be coming on. We'll be talking NASCAR and SRX. He was out South Boston with my best friend, our content director, Michael Massey. We're going to be talking SRX in the future, what that holds for that group, and more come up next week on the Front Stretch podcast. For Jack and everybody at Front Stretch, I am Brian Nolan. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk with you next week. Recap Road America and preview fun-size Super Speedway racing at Atlanta.